helpful to me as I seek to bring out the truth of God from these words. It's also appearing on the screen behind you, behind me, in front of you. And it may be the right time, if you've got younger children, that they may want to gather round tables at the back. I'll be speaking for about 10 minutes, so that's how long. If they're not going to do that, they'll need to sit and listen. Well, let's just pray, shall we, as we come to God's word together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you that you're the kind of king who came into this world to serve people like us by dying on the cross, by paying the ransom price that we cannot pay for ourselves. So, Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning and strengthen in us that sight of your Son for his glory. Amen. Amen. Well, it is wonderful to gather today to give thanks for and celebrate the life of Queen Elizabeth II, her 90th birthday. And over the years, as we've been hearing, her Christian faith has been a source of inspiration and strength to her, as it is to many of us. She said these words, "I draw strength from the Christian message of hope and the Christian gospel." But what is the Christian gospel? What is so good about the good news of Christianity? What brings such strength and hope into our lives through this message? And it's a very important question, isn't it? Is the Christian gospel, as we hear so many times in our society, about doing our best to do good? Is that what Christianity is? Is it trying hard to do good? And the passage here that we had read really helps us with answering this question. So do have a look at it with me. An expert in the law of Moses, comes to Jesus and asks this question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Here is a man who clearly thought that what he did could mean that he would merit or earn eternal life. Is this the Christian gospel? How is Jesus going to respond? We might say that this man's view of the Christian gospel, the Christian message, is do, D-O, do. That's what it's about. Do good to the poor. Do good in our lives. Now, these are good things. Don't mishear me. These are wonderfully good things. But is this what Jesus' good news is about? Well, Jesus asks him a question in verse 26. "What is written in the law?" he replied. He's an expert of the law. Surely he knows what the Old Testament is about. "How do you read it?" says Jesus. Jesus goes straight back to the Bible of his day to answer this question. Jesus accepts the authority of the Old Testament. And the teacher of the law replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. He agrees with his summary of the law. Do this, and you will live. Love God perfectly with all that you are, all of the time, and love your neighbor all the time as yourself, as you love yourself, and you will live. And if this was the only part of the Bible that we had, we could be tempted to think that Jesus was teaching that by what we do, we will inherit eternal life. But Jesus goes on to tell a story. And we have the rest of the New Testament as well. And the story that he tells is to convince this man that he cannot love his neighbor as he loves himself. That he does not love his neighbor as he loves himself, and therefore will not inherit eternal life, if that's where his hope is. You see, what the man does is he asks a question that he wants answered to justify himself, to make him feel that he will be in heaven because he loves his neighbor. And he asks the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, will Jesus tell a story that makes the teacher think that he loves his neighbor, or that he doesn't love his neighbor? What's this story designed to do? Well, firstly, Jesus picks a Samaritan. Now, we might have heard of the Samaritans, and they do lots of wonderful work. And they're an organization that get their title from this parable. But in the first century, Samaritans were hated by Jews. And Samaritans hated Jews. They hated each other. Why? Well, because Samaritans had intermarried with the pagan nations. They'd abandoned the Jewish faith that they once had, and they sort of lived a half-Jewish faith. They saw Jacob as their father and yet sacrificed to pagan gods. And so Jesus picks, for the teacher of the law, a man he hated. A Samaritan. And then the people in the story that he speaks of not being able to love as they ought are, well, who are they? Well, first Jesus picks a priest, a man who would have known the law of God, who would have taught the law of God, who would have sacrificed in the temple a true Jew. And yet when he sees in the story this man beaten up in the gutter, he walks to the other side of the road and passes him by. He does not love his neighbor as he loves himself. And then he picks another example that the expert in the law would have identified with, a Levite. Someone actually descended from the same line as Moses, the lawgiver. Someone who would have known the law, who would have served in the temple. And yet Jesus portrays him as well as ignoring this man in the gutter, passing on the other side of the road, and not loving him. Can you see what Jesus is doing? He's using those examples that are like the expert in the law to convince him that he's in the same boat. The very people that the expert in the law would have associated with, met with in church on Sunday, are the ones who failed to love their neighbours. And then Jesus portrays this Samaritan as good. He cleanses and bandages the man's wounds. He puts the man on his own donkey. He humbles himself. He pays for all the man's needs. And so then Jesus asks the expert in the law, it's an obvious question, isn't it? Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And you can almost feel the begrudging conclusion that the expert in the law comes to. He cannot even use the word Samaritan, the one who had mercy on him. And so Jesus says, go and do likewise. You see, we're left with a question after this parable. Did Jesus teach that parable to affirm the expert in the law that he could love his neighbor in such a way that he would inherit eternal life? Or did Jesus teach that parable in such a way to convince that man that he could not love his neighbor as he loved himself? That even though he knew the law of God, to love God with all he is, and to love his neighbor as himself, he could not keep it. He could not love his neighbor as himself. See, Jesus wanted this man, and if we were to read the whole of the New Testament, or even just Luke's Gospel, or even just over a few chapters to Luke 19, Jesus came to seek and to save lost people like you and me. See, we may know the law of love, but can we keep the law of love? Christianity is not about what I do. It's about what God has done. D-O-N-E. That's the summary of the Christian good news. Now, I don't know if you remember the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympics. Anybody remember the opening ceremony? Everybody remember the role that the Queen had in that opening ceremony? There she was, walking with James Bond in Buckingham Palace. Seemed to get into the helicopter, seems to parachute from the helicopter into the middle of the stadium. We know that that's fantasy, don't we? We know that the Queen didn't do that. Imagine the situation in which Princess Charlotte is kidnapped and there's a ransom price to be paid. Would we imagine that the Queen would somehow leave Buckingham Palace and get into a helicopter, put on her special forces kit, and go to where the kidnappers were, overcome the kidnappers, and rescue Princess Charlotte, maybe even dying in the process? No. It'd be fantasy. It's ridiculous. And when we come to think of God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, leaving the palaces of heaven, coming down to earth as a man, and paying the ransom price for people like you and me, dying on the cross to pay for us to go free, we're tempted to think, are we not? It's just fantasy. How can it possibly be true? And that would be the case if Jesus were an ordinary earthly king, like the kings of this earth or the queens of this earth. But what if he was and is God? What if he shows us what God is like? And so when we read in the pages of the gospel that he teaches he's come for bad people like you and me, who know that they're not good, to rescue us. That he teaches in the pages of the Gospels that he died on the cross to pay a ransom price, to set people like you and me free, because we know we can't do what is good. And if he's God, his claim to take the punishment that you and I deserve, to defeat death, to wipe away every tear, and to remake a new world is not fantasy world. It's fantastic news. It's good news. And so when he cries on the cross, it is finished. It is done. It's all done for anyone who wants to have God's mercy poured out into their lives so that we can show mercy to others like the Good Samaritan did. Well, it makes sense if he's God. It makes sense for Jesus to say on the cross, it is finished, it is done, if he's God. Now, that is the good news of Christianity. If you want to know what the good news of Christianity is, it's spelled D-O-N-E, done. Jesus has done everything that is needed for us to know God's mercy and to show God's mercy in our lives to others in fantastic ways, ways that go beyond the natural ways people love one another. But as we finish, I just want to quote from the Queen and from her 2012 Christmas broadcast, because it's this gospel which inspires her. It's this gospel which gives her strength. It's this gospel which brings hope. So listen to these words and then I'll pray and we're finished. We remember that God sent his only Son into the world to serve, not be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. The carol In the Bleak Midwinter ends by asking a question of all of us who know the Christmas story of how God gave himself to us in humble service. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. The carol gives the answer, yet what I can, I give him. Give him, that's Jesus, my heart. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you so much that you are the kind of king who came to serve people like us, and to give your life as a ransom, paying the price of death that we can't pay. In response, may we give you our hearts. And so with the mercy you have shown us, love our neighbour. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. Perhaps just a moment to pause and consider what we've heard.